Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, as so much the more as you see the day approaching.
All right. Is that a command? When does it become a command? What's that?
When God commands it.
Okay, but when does a church exclude somebody because they forsook the assembly?
So, we could forsake the assembly, being in the assembly, by our minds not being focused on the Word of God, we're not coming in with the right heart, right mind. So a person that maybe shows up, they can still be forsaking the assembly.
But we can't see the heart. A church
you can't see
the
heart.
So when does a church act on it?
A person that is forsaking the assembly, you see, they're not coming to church yet. They're going to the baseball game. They're going to work. They're doing all these things. There's nothing wrong. They're not sick. And they continue to forsake. Okay, then the church is going to have to act. But if it's like a one-time thing, you're going to be excluded because you missed Sunday. Well, I don't know the heart. I don't know what was happening. But if it's
why can't you after one time? They did it.
Huh?
Why can't a church? You missed services. They were out at the ball game, and they missed services, and they came in. Why can't a church exclude them?
They better exclude me because I know better.
What's that?
They better exclude me
because
I know better.
Well, you just gave an instance. They were at the ball game. Okay, you saw. I was just saying, if somebody just missed, you don't have no reason, you don't know. They
okay, I stayed home and watched TV.
Okay.
Why not exclude me?
You can. I would give it a little space of repentance because it might come back to you one day.
Okay. It's the same exact what Brother Dixon's trying to teach us, is that churches have the responsibility to take the scriptures and... You know, the pastor, as he leads that church, make determinations, make judgments based on what they see. And every church is not going to be the same. Well, they should be. They're not. That's why the letters written to the seven churches of Asia, each one was in a different place. Some may see something very clearly. This is what we're going to do. Others, might see a leniency, might give it time. And may be so much more lenient on this Hebrews 10:25 than another church. Well, is one wrong and one's right? Well, that's the humanism we make. Well, this is right, this is wrong. No, the church is following the scriptures in this direction. This church is following it here. Okay. Now, there are some very clear, as we're pointing out in Bible analysis, there are very clear commands and instructions on things we have to do to make sure we're scriptural, following the order that God has for us. And there are things that, this is one of them, that we've rebaptized people because of this, that they both didn't go down in the water. But in the same sense, am I going to call that church unscriptural because they practice this? Now, I know what the scriptures teach, but I also don't know the grace of God and what he's going to, work with and allow and versus what he's going to cut off. That's not my determination. That's no church's determination. All we can determine is I can't fellowship with that act. I'm not saying you're unscriptural. I can't fellowship with that act, right? There are churches that we're dealing with right now, issues. We can't fellowship. I couldn't exchange a letter. I couldn't lead the church in Toledo to exchange a letter with them because they're in, but I am not going to say they're not one of the Lord's, that they are, that candlestick's been pulled or the Lord isn't working with them. People aren't getting saved and they're not doing this work. I'm just saying they have unscriptural acts within that body, we can't fellowship. Because if we do, then I am a partaker of their evil deeds. Right? But in no way, shape, or form can we say they are unscriptural. Right? That is the whole basis of what Brother Dixon is trying to point out. We make the jump, oh, they're doing this, they're unscriptural. No. That act may be out of scripture and unscriptural. That doesn't make them unscriptural, right?
It could.
It could, and it probably will down the future. Absolutely, it probably will. Left unchecked. But there are examples of repentance. Churches have repented. The church, 1 Corinthians. Read 1 Corinthians. See how many areas they were in error concerning God's doctrines. Not just one, right? It was Lord's Supper. It was baptism. It was division in the body. There were so many different things. What did they do according to 2 Corinthians for all those things? They changed it. Repented. Right? So there can be repentance. And why did that? Because somebody worked with them. Somebody taught, you're unscriptural. We're not going to have fellowship with you anymore. You're unscriptural. You're not the Lord's. We're done. That's not the way the Lord treated them. That's the way we can't treat them.
I did a baptism once, an older woman. And she already thought that she didn't need to be baptized, but she was willing to do it because the church taught it. She's older. I'm baptizing her. I'm putting her down. I'm watching her face. I'm not necessarily watching the legs. I'm trusting other people to do that. When I put her in the water and I brought her back up because I was trying to be very gentle with her, I noticed I didn't get the water over the top of her forehead. And when she came up, the splash got it all wet. And as soon as she came up, I say, we're going to have to do this again. Because the picture is immersion in water.
Yep.
Was she immersed?
For all intents and purposes,
there was literally, it's the size of a silver dollar that her forehead wasn't completed. And she told me, she goes, I think I'm wet enough. And I was like, well, we're going to do it again. And this time I, you know, went down a little deeper. I waited a second and let the water close up, and then I brought her up. So now I know she got under all the way. She didn't think any of that was necessary. And maybe nobody else did. Maybe nobody saw what I just saw.
Yep.
But I know what the Bible, the emphasis is on the immersion.
Yeah.
There are other parts that go along with that that have to be followed.
Mm-hmm.
But the emphasis that God gave is on the immersion.
Yep. Yep. And I think that, you know, why is this so important? Because literally, you know, there are those, the churches or whatever out there, that literally is their argument. Well, you're saying we're unscriptural. You're saying we're not the Lord's church. You're saying they're not the Lord's church. Well, that's not for me to say. I can't make that argument, and I can't take it that far because that's the Lord's determination. All we can say is I'm not going to fellowship. I'm not going to lead the church to fellowship with that because there is error in their practice. But I am not here to declare when or if that comforter is removed, right? That candlestick is gone, Brother Nathan.
And I think this is our problem in society too, is we are afraid, as we've been told, to draw a line. We're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned at the beginning of one of your classes here not too long ago that God's truth is absolute.
Absolute.
It is. All of his doctrines are absolute.
Yep.
Are we willing to accept that? That there's only one way to administer, operate, practice, exercise
mm-hmm.
any and all of God's doctrines.
Yep.
And so now it becomes a debate whether I'm doing that right or you're doing that right. But we have to realize that God only has one way of baptism, only one way of observing the Lord's Supper, only one way of salvation, only one way. So that's common in the scripture, because I always think about that first incident when the man went out on a Saturday and picked up sticks in the Mosaic law. And they were like, well, the law says that this man ought to die. And Moses had to go and petition the Lord again. Are you sure you said this? Are you sure that it's this strict? I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to obey me or not? And the man had to die.
Yep.
And we look back and say, that is crazy.
Yep.
The bread, it stank for some of those that went out there and they got too much. And then some of them didn't get enough. They starved.
Mm-hmm.
God said, that's the way it is.
Yep.
Brother Bo brought a lesson one time and he made a big old giant list of what God said to do and not to do. And we're thinking, why? Was this harmful to us? No, because God said it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to that, Brother Roger, that crux. Mm-hmm. What are you going to stand on? And I agree with everybody, but we get so convoluted with who's scriptural and who's not. No, listen, the debate is, what does the Bible teach on the administration of baptism? Stand on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to do, is just take that stand. And then say, just like our forefathers before us that had their guts ripped out of their body and their arms pulled off of them, and sat on burning seats, No, God said this is how we're going to do it, so we're going to do it, whether that costs me my life or not. Yep. Now, that's pretty important.
Yep.
It's pretty important. I think we're getting a little bit too loose in our world today, and we're not willing to say that act is unscriptural. But we get so dumb in our minds where now all of a sudden we're accusing everybody of not being a church. No, that's because those that are in violation of the Lord don't have that conviction, and they get really offended when they're challenged by truth.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, if an act is not in the Bible, it's unscriptural. If it goes against the teachings and the practices of a New Testament church, which is acting scriptural, that's just a term. We get wound up over terms. We shouldn't be afraid of the term. If you're going to baptize with milk after God commanded John to baptize with water, it's unscriptural because we have no example in the scripture except that they used water. Why do we say it's unscriptural? Because it's outside of the scripture that we use milk. That makes sense to me. I'm not sure why that doesn't make sense to anybody else because God's word is absolute.
Okay, turn to Proverbs 2. I had a couple hands. Brother Jacob, then Brother Mike, did you?
It is not our place to judge somebody else's standing with God. That's for them. But the commandments that God has laid out, God expects us to, yes, this is what the word says. Thus agree the law and the prophets. He stood up. James stood up and said, that's what the Bible says. There's not a question about it. This is what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so if we can't nail it down to what the truth is, then what is it that we're standing on?
Mm-hmm. And that's hopefully, Brother Dixon, go ahead and then I'll.
Same law that caused a man to pick up the sticks to be stoned, the same law condemned David to death being stoned,
mm-hmm.
but God chose not to have him stoned.
Yep.
Is that unscriptural?
Exactly. Same act that caused Aaron to die immediately. Why didn't Moses die immediately?
Is that unscriptural?
God will have mercy on who he has mercy.
That's the grace, isn't it? He never got to go to the promised land, but Aaron died. Clothes taken off, given to his son. Moses got to live another, amount of time to be able to lead the children of Israel to the promised land. Yeah. So we got to think about when there is no, and this is part of what the lesson I was looking at this morning, when there is no direct command. We've already established, this is why I did this. Is there a singular, absolute truth to every doctrine? Yes, because God only has one truth, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So we know that to be true. His ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts than our thoughts. We understand that. So when there is no direct command, what do we as a New Testament church rely on? The pictures, the examples, the shadows, the types. We have to then, think about, this is easy. Here's a command to do this. Now I have this question arising. Now I have to study to show myself approved unto God. Now I have to, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the word of God is able to furnish me into all good works. It's able to show me, but now I got to mine it out. And that's going to take some work. That's going to take some effort, right? So, verse 1 of Proverbs 2, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Now, we make this leap all the time for others, but we never consider it for ourselves. Why doesn't religion understand the truths that we understand? Why? What? The Holy Spirit is comforter. The Holy Spirit is what brings understanding. Why don't we understand that and concede that with New Testament churches? Why don't they see that this way? Or brothers in a church, why don't they understand this? And we just jump beyond that. And yet that is a basic knowledge we all have concerning us and Bible Baptists, us and Catholics. But we stop that with brothers or even sister churches. Why don't they see this? Well, because you have to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. A church has to allow the Spirit of God to give them wisdom. Do you think sometimes the Spirit of God has difficulties working in churches?
We know, that's why I said, but it's not for wisdom.
Yeah. So why can't, you know, all the churches be in agreement, be in unity concerning us? Well, do they have that understanding? Are they allowing the Spirit to teach them? Brother Dale.
I'm sure every pastor probably asked that same question about the members of the church. Because, you know, different members at different times in our lives, we allow the Spirit to work and we maybe get better understanding or maybe more obedient. Excuse me, we've all been there. And so I know you're talking about other churches, and I agree with it. Sometimes even within ourselves, we can say, even as a parent, you're going, man, I mean, he's a brother in Christ, but it just don't seem like they're adhering to the scriptures or whatever. And maybe you even allow your kids to go over there and spend a night or something like that. I mean, something simple like that. The bottom line is, even with our own body, we even have some of the same problems.
Absolutely. And we think about cycles, the children of Israel in cycles, right? The ups and downs, the roller coaster of their spiritual lives. Churches go through that. And you may see a young church not having to be faced with a lot of these issues or problems yet, and they question. Brother Dixon, I think, brought it out. Well, we've never faced that. I don't know. We've never had to face that issue. Ever heard that from a New Testament church? I have several times in questionnaire. Well, we've never faced that. Never had to deal with that. So now they're being confronted with an issue that they've never dealt with, never looked at in the scriptures, and they don't have the right answer. Oh, they're unscriptural. Sometimes we jump and we make that, but then you have churches who know better, but then all of a sudden someone else comes in, another preacher comes in, begins to teach, and pretty soon that is lost. It's gone by the wayside. Now they're confronted again, and they have no answer. They have no conclusion. What do we do now? Well, at once the church had made that stand, but now they're back to the place because the Spirit isn't being allowed to teach where that was lost, right? Brother Nathan, then Brother Alex.
And hopefully the preachers and pastors, they have that fear. Fear is the beginning of knowledge. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. As the oversight, as the feeder of the flock, you know, the apprehension of let's be really slow at looking at this doctrine before we fellowship. If there's an occasion of fellowship or we have to get involved with an action, that it's very biblical, because that church is the espoused bride of Christ, and her ability to be committed and faithful to his doctrine is critical for her. And the pastor needs to guide and lead in that. And so I understand, you know, the issue with maybe verbiage and laying out some accusations, but really the pastor of a church needs to teach that church, number one, how to resolve through the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Bible. Look at the guidance. Look at the truth. And then show them how to stand on that in the face of the fires, because that's tough. And we've had folks in our house, and we're talking about these type of things, and they would say, well, you guys are drawing a harder line than we will. We would never draw that line in fellowship. Okay, now this is coming from a church that voted to not recognize a twice-married preacher and then send their pastor to a Bible conference in which a twice-married preacher chaired that conference. And I said, well, that's fellowship. And we wouldn't fellowship with that. And he says, well, that's a hard line to draw in fellowship. That's not fellowship. So that's out there. You got to teach a church that might make those people upset, that they may start to accuse you of saying they're not a church. That's not what we're doing. We're saying that's not doctrinal. That's not Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to participate with it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have that accountability for her as the espoused bride to do that. So don't be afraid to say, we can't accept that doctrine, and we're going to look at it in the Bible, and we're going to get educated on it before we make any other decisions about that action. Is that so wrong?
And there should never be, a fear or, and I hope you're not getting this from what I or Brother Dixon's trying to say. We have to earnestly contend for the faith. But we also have to understand that that doesn't mean we're in the business of destroying other churches or declaring the death of other churches, right? Earnestly contending in faith is simply, in my mind, right? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, why would God say that? Isn't it sin for everyone? Well, what happens when you haven't come to that knowledge yet? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin.
So
I'm sorry, Brother Alex, after this.
Something that I had, you had, Brother Doug had, when we went through seminary, that those that came after us haven't necessarily had to this degree. Because I teach different, you teach different, Brother Doug teaches different. When Brother Crabtree was teaching, and ever since, this meeting in April is coming up, and Brother Dale talked to me, I've been thinking about different things. Probably, I'm sure others are too. And one of the things that I am incredibly sensitive to, and I think from listening to you, you probably aren't just knowing you, Brother Doug, we got hammered about usurping a church's authority.
Yeah.
And be very careful.
Yep.
And there are things that you don't want to contaminate yourself. There are things that you don't want to bring in that throw red flags. But you have to be incredibly careful about usurping another church's yep. authority. And when yep. you do that, baptism is one of those things. And I know we, the church I pastor, we have usurped other churches' authority when it's come to discipline
mm-hmm.
or baptism. And we've taken that very seriously. And I'm thinking we've had two occasions where people have come, they wanted to join, and the church is out of existence. And trying to find and figure those out and go back, and you can't find anything. And I've come back and told these people, listen, your baptism may be good, that church may be good. I can't document, I can't prove it. And we're going to, for you to join this church, we're going to have to put you through the water. Now, that really bothers me because maybe that church is good, and I, yeah. but I can't prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you've got to be careful about it. The Lord died for all his scriptural New Testament churches, yep. that same blood. You have to be careful.
Exactly.
And so you have to be careful about how you approach it, how you think about it, and how you act on it.
Yep. Brother Alex?
Well, one of the examples I was thinking of is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth through the Spirit, through Paul. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as you are babes in Christ. And I've fed you with milk and with meat. So they weren't able to understand these spiritual things. He had to speak mm-hmm. to them and give them just the milk. So there mm-hmm. might be churches, I think you're saying, how does one church stand for this and how does another church stand for that? Maybe once one church doesn't have the Spirit, one's still on the milk.
Well, yeah, and so, let's continue on Proverbs 2, because as I said, there may be commands, there may be teachings, but it's our responsibility to know and then practice. God has a singular truth for every subject and topic. We have to get that place. So then, verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, in every good path. When? Then shalt, when? After what? After we've searched and cried out for and asked the Lord to give us these truths and understanding and let the Spirit work on us, then we can understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, in every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. We always just think, okay, discretion, personal life, right? Being discreet in all that we do. What is he talking about there as a New Testament church? Discretion shall preserve thee. Do you think that's in, you know what? Do you think we could lose our discretion by maybe jumping too quick or not jumping quick enough? What's going to tell us when we should and when we shouldn't? The wisdom, the leadership of the Spirit, being able to cry out for her, seek her, follow, that's going to give us discretion to deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. And it's not always easy to see sometimes, ooh, that's the path of darkness. That's where we're seeing, right? God may have a very clear, God has perfect understanding. I have to mine out in the scriptures and say, man, is this a path of darkness? Right? Well, they both didn't get down the water. Is this a path of darkness? Is it leading to that? Or is this still walking in the light? And so as we mine out the scriptures, I may come to a very succinct declaration. I see the Lord to teach this, lead the church in this way, to make this practice. But I can't assume that every other church, right, is to that understanding. And I'm not going to be proudful enough, arrogant enough to say, I'm always right. Because I've been wrong too many times in the past. Now I'm going to say, this is exactly why I see the scriptures to teach. I absolutely believe this. But I'm going to let the Spirit bring that understanding to others. And I may teach and do what I can and share my thoughts, right, and debate the scriptures. But it's going to have to be up to that church and maybe another pastor to be able to come to that understanding. And they're going to have to mind out just like I had to mind out. They're going to have to get to that place, right? We've talked about, I mean, there's so many things in scriptures, whether it's creation in the gap, whether it's believing in angels cohabitating with woman or not. Is there an absolute truth to those doctrines? I mean, is there an absolute truth? Yes, this happened. No, this didn't happen. There is. But we also don't declare unscripturalness by believing one way or the other on some of these doctrines. Well, why not? If there's a singular truth, why not be bold enough to stand and say this is absolutely right? I believe this to be what the Bible teaches, and I have a clear understanding of what the scriptures teach. Then why don't I just declare you're unscriptural and I'm scriptural because you have this belief and I have this belief? Because I'm not going to be arrogant enough to say that this is the stand the Lord is taking, even though I believe this is what the scriptures teach. But is the Lord going to break his fellowship with this person or this church because they don't have that belief and understanding? Well, that's not for my judgment. That's where we have to come to that realization that we're still man.
That's what I was trying to say.
We're still man. We have to realize, let God be the judge. Let God stand that and stand for those truths and those doctrines that we know we can stand and should stand for. And the ones that, you know what, that aren't really, quote, the test of fellowship. And years ago, I don't have it written down, but written those doctrines that erode, chip away at, or destroy the way of God, the Trinity, or glorifying God. If it doesn't fall into that, then, you know, maybe we ought to take another look and see what we base our fellowship on. We may say that's an unscriptural act, but we better find out. You know, I don't know that that's worthy of not being able to exchange a letter, not inviting them to be able to participate in youth rally. There, some things are absolute, other things are not. And that's where we have to be careful, because again, Brother Mike talked about, it's going to be, and it should be, a very fearful thing to usurp the authority or question the authority of a New Testament church unless it's very clear. Because what are we doing? It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. That's hers. That's the Lord's church, right? And let him make that determination. So hopefully we see it. I had some hands. Brother Nathan.
It's the same principle with a member of the New Testament church, too, though.
Mm-hmm. Because there's obstinance there, and there's rebellion there. Now, do I have a time frame in that? No, but I'll tell you, 10 years is a long time to not get a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
If we got contention and clear, unscriptural behavior, there's a problem there. And I don't know why we're so slow at recognizing it.
Yeah.
10 years isn't because of ignorance.
No, willfulness at that point,
yes,
right?
That's kind of where I'm at with yeah. these stuff, but we have to be extremely, as fearful as we are to not usurp authority, we have to be fearful enough to not let the body of Christ that God made you oversight fall into that.
Yep. The Bible speaks pretty clearly of presumptuous sins mm-hmm. versus the unknowing, the ignorance, sins of ignorance. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, you know, I probably wouldn't have taught this lesson or in this fashion 20 years ago, 25 years ago, a little more harsh, right? Black and white, everything is. But then you begin to realize that, man, things, especially as sin abounds, things get a little bit tougher to deal with. And then you realize, man, Brother Crabtree is absolutely probably right, right? Time and teaching. We don't always need to be the first to jump out there, even though there's a time that has to be done, and it needs to be done. And this is a terrible analogy, terrible saying. I always use it, though, because it's true. You give somebody enough rope, what's going to happen? Let them hang themselves, right? They're in error of this doctrine. That's true. I'm not going to really make a big issue out of it. I just know that if this is wrong and they're wrong, it's going to be more. It's going to come. It's going to reveal itself.
And that one will be
clear. Exactly. And that is something then we can make a clear distinction for. Now we're going to cut that fellowship, right? Understand that. That is true. Sometimes we want to make it right now with this issue. Well, just give it a little time. And you realize there's going to be plenty of things that are going to come up to allow you to be beyond a reasonable doubt at that point. But Dixon.
So I knew this lesson was coming. I was going to do it and listen the other day, and I was going to make this emphasis. I was thinking exactly the same thing you just said. Maybe 25 years ago, I don't hit it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I still feel I'm pretty black and white, but I feel that there's boundaries that God sets, and yeah. I don't have to be the first one to jump up and scream.
Yep.
And there was a time I was, and there was a time... I remember Brother Crabtree walking by me when I was doing something with some brethren, they're in Albany, and at camp, and he's like, "You'll settle down and you'll."
Yeah, yeah.
And he just walked off.
Yep.
He said, "I'll settle down and I'll learn," and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm with you. I'm not always right, but I'm very, it bothers me, even when we've usurped church authority,
yeah.
and I believe we're 100% crystal clear and right, it still bothers me.
Yep, absolutely.
And I think time and teaching has brought out that maybe that's been blessed, but in the back of my mind, I'm going to stand before God one day, and even though I think I'm right, I would do it again,
yep.
it bothers me.
Absolutely.
And it bothers me that if God's going to say it like I saw it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Any other? We're going to probably close there. I didn't get my lesson done. All right. Is there no other? Let's go ahead and stand. Appreciate the time and attention.